Matthew 7, from verse 7 to verse 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? To those who ask him. We began to look at the first segment of the guarantees that God has given to us when we pray. And what's that first guarantee? That if we ask, it will be given to us. And we looked at, I think, the first four or five things, conditions that will make this guarantee to work. We had noted last week that it's one thing to get a guarantee, it's another thing for you to abide by the conditions that will make the guarantee to be effective. And one of the conditions we said was that we must ask from whom? We must ask from God. Let's stop asking from people. Let's stop asking from pastors. Let's stop asking all around. Let's make God the first priority in our asking. Secondly, we must ask in faith. We must ask in faith, believing. The Bible says, if you ask anything, believing that you have it, you shall have it. Thirdly, we make sure that we forgive. We have forgiven all that have offended us before we say we want to go and ask. Then after we have asked, we should patiently wait for God. He is the one who will give the answer at the appropriate time. And finally, last week we said that when we are asking, we should ask how? According to God's will. Make sure you are asking according to God's will, because that is what He guarantees. And we said, if we set the scriptures, for example, and we don't know what God's will is, what's the easiest way to find out the will of God in prayer? Or what's the easiest way to pray the will of God? Pray in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you are praying the will of God, because the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God prays with us, making intercession, and He knows the heart of God. So He will always pray the will of God. Now we want to continue from where we stopped last week, which is this point. Now the next condition that you want to be sure that is in place, John chapter 15, verse 7. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, that is in the Lord Jesus, and my words, that is his words, abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Is that in your Bible? And you see that it begins with an if. There's a condition. There's a condition precedent to the answering of prayers, to the giving of what we ask from God. That he is in us, and we are in his word. Sorry, that we are in him, and his word is in us. And then we will ask whatever we desire, and it shall be done for us. Now, one of the things that I want you to note is that if you are in Christ and his word is in you, you are not likely to ask contrary to his will. In fact, if anything at all, your desire will be his desire. His will become your will. Next, in corporate prayer, there must be agreement with one another and with God. When we gather together, we say, let us pray. There must be that agreement that we are praying together, and that God, where we're in agreement also with God. Let's read Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 and 20. Again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Praise the name of the Lord. So when we are praying, particularly corporate prayer, make sure that all of you are in agreement, and that you're not just in agreement on your own, but your agreement is also with God. Now, if you are praying as an individual, it goes without saying that you must also be in agreement with God. Otherwise, your prayer is, you're just wasting the prayer. Sometimes when you begin to pray, you will hear God say to you, pray like this. Don't pray like this. Asking you to pray in a manner that will enable him give you what you are asking, because he knows what it is that we desire. Now, when we ask, it is important that we keep sin far away from our hearts. We keep iniquity. We keep wickedness. We keep things that are not complementary to God away from our hearts. In Psalm 66 verse 18. Psalm 66 verse 18. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart,
the Lord will not hear.
If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord. So even if I know the will of God, but I have kept iniquity in my heart. I have a relationship with iniquity. Maybe I am planning to do something wrong to somebody. It may have no reason, no bearing on what I'm praying for. But because I have regarded iniquity, I have welcomed it, I am comfortable with iniquity in my life, God says he will not hear.
Is there somebody with a translation that explains that verse better?
Yeah. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened.
Okay, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. There's a particular verse I'm looking for that explains what that word to regard iniquity is, to have it as a companion, to welcome it, to accommodate it, to be happy with it. That's the word. That's the word I was looking for. If I cherish sin in my heart, Lord wouldn't have listened. If you cherish it. You know, sometimes you cherish the thought of vengeance, avenging someone, and you want to go and pray. The Lord's not going to hear you. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and verse 2. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and verse 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. When you say that you have been praying and you are not hearing from God, you say, I'm praying and it's as if God is not hearing me, or I'm not hearing from God. These are things that you want to check. These are the checklists, the things that form the checklist. Why is God not hearing me? Do I cherish iniquity in your heart? You see a sinner and you are making excuses for him. You see somebody who is, we're not talking of an unbeliever. We're talking of a supposed born again child of God who is doing something wrong, and you are accommodating him. It is the same thing as cherishing iniquity in your heart. The Bible tells us in, I think it's Psalm 15, about the people who will ascend to the throne of God. In one of the verses, it says, one in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. That's Psalm 15 verse 4. A vile person is despised, but those who fear God, he recognizes them. He honors them. That man is asking God to come quickly, speedily, and hear his prayers. Ezekiel chapter 14 verse 3. Ezekiel chapter 14 verse 3. Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put before them that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? God was speaking to Ezekiel here concerning the people who were coming to make prayer requests to him. He said, look at them. They have an idol. There's iniquity in their hearts. They don't want to let go of sin. They don't want to let go of iniquitous living. They don't want to let go of ungodliness and unrighteousness. But they want to come and ask me for something. And they expect me to give them answers. Keep sin far away from you. Keep sin far away from you. You will pray and God will hear you speedily. There are some things that I know. Just like a father wants to respond quickly to a son. So that, or daughter, or mother to daughter. So that he or she, the son or the daughter doesn't fall into wrong hands or go into wrong things. When a question is raised, what happens? The father promptly answers. But when you are not getting that answer, something that you know that my father should want to answer this thing speedily, why is he not answering? Then you need to check. You see that you have regarded iniquity in your things like getting married. Those are issues that it is the will of God for you to be married. So why is it not happening? Find out. And if you now say to me, that God is not answering me, then we need to ask, have you regarded iniquity in your heart? Is there an idol in your heart? Some people have decided on the kind of person they want to get married to. So the question is, if you have made up your mind on that, why are you asking God? Some people have decided the kind of job they want. And then they come to God and say, Lord, I want you to give me a job. You have decided what you want. So why are you asking God? Because whatever God brings, which is most likely going to be different from what you desire, you are not likely to take. And the willingness and the desire to do the will of God must be in your heart. You can't have idolatry in your heart and expect that God will hear your prayers. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. We're looking at another important condition that you need to meet to have the guarantee that as I pray, it is done.
You know, there is an assurance that you have when you have prayed that God has answered this prayer. Even if I don't see it, I can walk away from that place knowing that it's answered. There's a confidence, there's an assurance that I have. Because all the conditions that need to be met, I've already met them. Not in my power, but by the Spirit of God helping me, yielding to Him. You see, as you yield to the Holy Spirit, you will meet every condition. The Spirit of God is the one who meets all the conditions for us through Christ. 1 John chapter 3 verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Is that your Bible? It says, whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You cannot be doing the word of God, be pleasing God, and then you pray and you are not having answers. Or there's no confidence in you that God has answered. As long as your desire, your food, your meat is to do the will of God, which is pleasing to God, there is no prayer that you will pray that God will not answer. If you ask for bread, God will give you bread. But if you ask for a snake, of course you don't expect God to give you a snake. He will tell you what you are asking for is dangerous. Let me give you something better. Pray like this. Then you pray that way. Because your delight is what is in God. To do His will. But when God says to you to pray in a particular manner, and you are saying, no, this is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want. How does that work out? So you discover that God holds down on those things and gets you to the place where you can accept the good thing, the good gift that He's bringing to you. John chapter 14, 13 and 14 and 16, 23. John chapter 14, verse 13 and verse 14 and John chapter 16, verse 23. John 14, 13 and 14. I think we read this last week. And John 16, 23. John 14, 13 and 14. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You are to ask in the name of Jesus. You know, there's a practice that I have observed. I'm asking in the name of the God of the name they call the name of their pastor. Do you know if that pastor is pleasing to God? The reason why we pray in the name of Jesus is because Jesus is the only one who was pleasing to God. And it is under Him that we find that we are pleasing to God. And also the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that God, because of Jesus' humility and obedience to God, has highly exalted Him and has given him a name that is above any other name. So that when we pray in the name of Jesus, every other thing they come under that name. And so things are done for us. But when we begin to mingle because we want to show ourselves as, I don't know what the objective is. I really don't know what the objective is. Why people would ask others to pray in the name of their God, the God of this. Is it not your God? I'm asking you a question. Is it not your God? So what is so special about the man that is not special about you? Except you're a sinner. That's why you can now go and be praying about the God of somebody. I remember one day I was having a discussion with someone and the fellow mentioned, in the name of the God of, he mentioned the name of the pastor. And I said to the fellow, I said, what are you doing? He said, things are happening. I said, He said, the scripture. I said, okay, let's give me the scripture. He said, Elisha said, the God of Elijah. I said, now let's look at that story very well. After Elijah asked the question, where now is the God of Elijah? And he crossed that bridge. Did you hear him mention, pray anymore again in the name of the God of Elijah? When you are ignorant, you can be doing those things. But as you begin to grow, you pray in the name of Jesus. This was how they got us to be praying through Mary. Nobody will know, nobody will remember the name of Jesus again. And the fellow will tell you that he's a man of God. So what happens to that man when he dies? You now say, in fact, now he's closer to God. So you'll be praying in the name of the God of your pastor who has died. Now you don't know where that pastor went to when he died. Whether he went to heaven or hell, you don't know. The one that we all know. The one who came and said to us that all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The Son of the living God. The one who opens a door and no man can shut. Who shuts a door and no man can open. It is that name that we pray. It is in that name that we pray. It's in that name that we ask. We don't ask in any other name. Praise the name of the Lord. John chapter 16 verse 23. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. The Lord did not say, ask me. He said, ask my Father, but ask in my name, because that name has weight. In those days, I think even now, it's just that there's so many things that we don't do right anymore. When you want somebody to do, when you want somebody to do something, you come in the name of the President of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. That's the authority that you have, and everybody obeys because of that name. If you are, let's assume that you are going for a function. They've invited the President to that function, that the President cannot attend, and sends you to go to that function. You are seated in his car. Will anybody search you? You are representing the President. You are going in his name. You are going by his authority. Everything they would have given to the President, they give to you. It's not you per se that they are honoring. Who are they honoring? The President. So when you begin to pray in the name of one man somewhere, you begin to wonder, what are you talking about? What are we doing? He would have said, pray in the name of my Father. Did he say we should pray in the name of his Father? He didn't say we should pray in the name of his Father. He said, pray in the name of God. I ask you, Lord, in the name of God. He didn't tell us to do that. He said, pray in my name. Pray by my, ask by my authority. I will pray by that name. Now there's one thing, and maybe we'll spend a bit of time and then we pray. There's one major issue that is very strange to many believers in prayer, and it's the area of being thankful. We always ask for things, but we are never thankful for the past answers. Psalm 50, actually what I want to read is verses 14 and 15, but let me read it from verse 7. Because here God was complaining. He had a problem with his people. Hear, O my people, from verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on the thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify. You have not given thanks for what God has done in time past. You are just rushing to a new problem. He solved the problem yesterday. Have you thanked him for that? You just rushed into a new request for today. He solved the problem 1 year ago. You rush in with another problem. Have you thanked him for that one of last year? We are becoming a thankless people. There's a program they used to show on TV when we're in the States. I can't remember that. I think it's called Family Feud. And there they bring two families together and then they tell you to, they would say something that is common, some common words. They would use examples like name five common animals, name five large cities. They would have taken a survey of 100 people. So they would say 100 people in America named five large cities as. So you will now name the five. If you get them right, that's okay. So they said 100 people in America, they were to give common things that people commonly say in conversation. One family actually said, thank you. It was not there. So the presenter said, can you imagine that? That is how low we have become. That we don't even say thank you when people do things for us. So thank you was not in the common American usage in interaction with other people. It can be said also of the church. That if we take a survey of the common words that we talk about in the church, you'll be shocked that thanksgiving to God is not part of it. Common words will be things like, I want a car, I want wife, I want husband, I want children, I want job. Is that not so? Am I lying? Those will be the common phrases that we hear in church. But thank you, Jesus, we don't hear it. We are not thankful. Must make sure that you are thankful for what God has done in time past. And also, he talked about them not paying their vows. He says, and pay your vows to the Most High God. And I say, keep your promises. Not just to God, but also if you don't have to make a promise. But if you make a promise, make sure you keep the promise. If for any reason you can't keep the promise, make sure you get in touch. For example, if you promise someone, I'm going to see you by 5, and you can't make it, make sure you call that person and tell the fellow, I can't make it. Don't make promises that you will not talk. Some of us make promises that we will never keep, but we make it. We have a habit. I have a friend like that. When we're young and we're going somewhere, he would give 5 different people. I see you at 5. I see you at 5. I see you at 5. So one day we asked him, you're always doing this thing. And when it is 5 o'clock, you are neither there, you are not at any one o'clock, you are in a different place. He said, well, what else do you want me to say? I mean, that's what we, just to tell, so they won't disturb me. That's not integrity. God is looking for men of integrity. You want God to keep a promise, then you cannot keep your own promise. Let's focus on thankfulness a little bit more. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, the apostle Paul writing says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, what's the next thing? With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. That's true. But how should that prayer be? With thanksgiving. Giving of thanks. We think that it means nothing, but it means a lot. Being thankful to God from your heart. That's what we're talking about here. A truly grateful person is thankful from the heart. Gratitude is not something you just say so that you can forget it. No. For example, even if you say you don't know what to thank God for, your very salvation, let me ask you a question. If you were to thank God every day for your salvation, is it too much? So why don't we do that? We thank God every day that He sent Jesus Christ to this world to come and die for us. We are thankful to God for it. We are grateful to the Lord Jesus for even agreeing to go to the cross. Because even if you wanted to die for your sins, it would not be accepted. We thank God for those things. We thank God for His daily mercies. I remember once I was thanking God for His mercies, and God said, you better thank me also for unseen mercies. I said, please explain what unseen mercies are. He said, those times that you are sleeping, that robbers gathered in front of your gate to come and attack. I said, let's go away, this is not the place. Who do you think? You didn't know that it happened when I was there. Those times that witches are gathered, that tonight we are going to suck this fellow's blood. And somehow they find themselves doing something else. Those are the unseen mercies of God. Those disappointments. That we think, why is God not bringing this thing? And it's a disappointment. We are getting angry, we are fretting, we are upset. Meanwhile, God is planning something far, far greater than you can even expect. Delivering us for things that would have taken us away from Him. Those are unseen mercies. We thank God for His unseen mercies. We thank God even for the disappointments in life. Is that not what the Bible tells us? In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God for all things. The good, the bad, the ugly. I read the story of a lady. She was regarded as one of the missionaries to India. When she was born, she was a Caucasian, but she had brown eyes. Her mother had blue eyes, and she liked her mother's blue eyes. So when she learned how to pray. She was brought up in a Christian home and she learned how to pray and how to pray in faith. She was a woman of faith. As she was growing from being a child, she just wanted to have blue eyes. And she trusted God that God would turn her eyes from brown to blue. And she prayed about that thing every time. Every time she prayed about it. So one day God told her that I'm not going to answer that prayer. And she was worried. Why? God said, you will soon know. In due course, you will know. As it turned out, she went on missionary to India. And then she understood why God was not going to change it. The Indians listened to her because she had blue eyes, because she had brown eyes. If she had had blue eyes, they would have seen her as a pure Caucasian. They would have listened to her. And it was in India that she did her greatest work for God. It was then she understood why God said, I'm not going to change your eyes. It's not as if God cannot change it. So there are things that we are asking and we're not getting. We should be thankful to God that we don't have it yet, or that we won't have it at all. There are many things that we are asking for that we will never get. It's not because God hates us. It's because what you are asking must tie in with His purpose. We must understand those things. That's why God is particular about us being in Him. Because it is in Him that we will really move as we should move, that we will live as we live, as we should live, and that we will have our being as we ought to. It is in Him that the fulfillment of God's plan and purpose take effect. In Christ, be thankful to God for everything. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let me read from verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, from verse 16 to verse 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Let's pause. In how many things? While you are inside that problem, give thanks. Give thanks in everything. I'd like to show you, let's just put a finger there, and let's go to the book of Jonah, and you will see something very interesting. After Jonah was cast into the water, and that big fish came to swallow him up, he began to pray. He began to cry to God. Let me just read the whole chapter. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed in the name and prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, or hell, I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet, you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Note that it's praying, right? Verse 9. Verse 8. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. Verse 9. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of what? I will pay what I have. Is that in your Bible? Salvation is of. What's verse 10? All that noise of crying and it was when Jonah gave thanks. Give the sacrifice of thanks. Let me tell you, when you hear, we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the, it is not a pleasant thing. Inside the whale's belly, with all the smelly salt water and all the smelly things that the fish are taking. Can you imagine something inside your stomach with all the acid biting and eating the things to digest them? Oh, my sister is paining me. Ah, nothing. Oh, this is that. Until Jonah was able to say, when I bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and my vow, I will pay. What happened? What happened now? God gave command to the fish. I said, vomit him. He would have been there, griping and complaining left, right, and center. Inside that whale, you don't say, if you bring me out, I will thank God. Thank him inside it. And thank him outside it. But begin your thanksgiving inside the problem. Inside the challenge. And you can see Jonah understanding the word of God. And say, not only am I giving you sacrifice of thanksgiving, any vow that I have made, I will. It was then that God sent to the fish for me. So you have been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and nothing is happening. Switch to thanksgiving. Start thanking God for the problem that you are in. Thank you. I thank you, Lord. I know that if he's giving you glory, no problem. I thank you for it. Thank you that I'm in this situation. I thank you for what I am or what I'm in right now. It may not be pleasant, but I give you thanks for it. Because I know you have a better plan than I can ever imagine. Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. It says, in everything give thanks. The next line says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. For it is God's will that you should give thanks in your situation. We remember the story of Paul and Silas, who were kept in the dungeon, the deepest part of the dungeon. How they prayed, and I'm sure they must have sang, and they must have thanked God. They were just doing what was normal to do in the prison. It was a normal thing for them to thank God, to give prayer, to pray, and to give praise. And they did it in a manner that everybody heard, even though their condition did not warrant it. But they did what ought to be done. And God broke not just their bounds and their prison doors, but the entire prison, all the prisoners, their bonds were loose. But God did not permit them to run away, just to show himself strong on their behalf. We must never, ever refuse to be thankful. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13:15. Bible says, therefore, by him, that is by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise or thanksgiving to God. That is the fruit of our lips. Doing what? Giving thanks to his name. How should we do it? Continually. How? Continually. By Jesus, we continually offer the sacrifice of praise. It is a sacrifice because it's not every time that things will be pleasant for you. It's not every time that you'll be in a circumstance or situation that you really want. But you have to do it. Because it is what God has commanded. And because it is pleasing to God. Psalm 100 verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name.
When you want to go and see when you want to go and see nobility or royalty,
that God is greater than,
you start appreciating him.
Especially if you watch these old films of Nigerian, the Nigerian heritage,
you see how people start hailing the king from outside. Our praise and worship is not for us. We are not coming to dance for ourselves. We are not coming to enjoy praise and worship. We are coming to give thanks to God. It is to God that we are giving it, not to ourselves. It's not for our pleasure. It's for the pleasure of God. It is a prelude to asking. You just don't jump out and say, I'm asking for this. Give thanks now. Thank God for your life. Thank God for how far he has helped you. Thank God for how far he has led you. Thank God for the situation that you are in before you start asking for getting out of that situation. Because God knows why he put you in that situation. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Even when we are sad,
we are beginning to say, he has made us glad.
He has made me glad. I am so glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I am so glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
It is, you see, thanksgiving.
Who do you give thanks to? No, who do you, generally speaking, who do you give thanks to? Somebody who has done something for you, right? Who else do you give thanks to?
Someone who is superior to you.
You give thanks.
And God is more than all those. He's the one that we give thanks to. He's the one that we adore. He's the one that we worship.
A man has done something for you. You haven't thanked him, then you now go back and say, okay, I need something else. The man will just be sitting in his heart. Look at this fool.
The one I just did for him, he hasn't said thank you for that. He is asking for more.
You really get it.
He won't say it to you.
He's kept it in his heart.
God is greater than man. And the least we can do is to appreciate him for all that he has been doing in our lives. A lot of us don't understand that many of the events taking place in the world today, they are for your benefit.
Oh, economies may be tumbling upside down.
It is for your benefit. Because ultimately God will show himself strong on the behalf of his own people. He will prove to the world that as long as these are my children, they will not starve. I will take care of them. There are people who, for example, they rush and get married. They have children in good time and everything. You may be late in getting married, but by the time you get married, the peace that is in your home, they are still fighting. After, even though they've been married for years, you look at them, they are disheveled. They are unable to sit down in one place. They're jumping. They're in church not because they love God, but because of the problem in the house. But you have joy in your marriage because your husband or your wife is not troubling you. Can you imagine a man who is receiving fire from his organ in the office? Traffic has finished his head before he gets to the house. Then he gets home. His wife is waiting for him with mortar and pestle. What joy does that man have? There are a lot of things that we don't appreciate about what God is doing for us. And I suspect that it is because many of us are still looking at things from a carnal perspective rather than from a spiritual perspective. When you begin to look at things spiritually, you will appreciate God for the things that he's doing. There's one song that I used to play a lot. It says you should thank God for the things he didn't do.
Lady was singing something about says if God had given you the voice of Michael Jackson, you would have become too proud.
So thank him for that crooked voice that you have. But just be thankful to God for all that. Stop looking at somebody else.
I wish I can be like this person.
So you are saying to God that he made a mistake in making you. You want to be somebody else.
That's the point I was trying to raise with that sister.
And the principle is, God, this is how God has made you. Stay that way. Be thankful to God for the way he made you. You see African women parting their hair to be like Oyibo. The Oyibo woman is looking for how to curl that hair to be like us. We are not satisfied. No man is satisfied with where he is. That is the heart of an ungrateful person. The heart of an unthankful person. We will bleach. The whole person is going for to suntan. You want to be white and you can never be white. They want to be black and they can never be black. Do you think God did not know why he put you where he put you?
Be thankful to God.
Are you living in a bacha?
Be thankful to God.
I know you have been hearing messages of how you are going to live in a mansion. That mansion is in heaven if you are doing the right thing. You are living in a bacha? Be thankful to God. Can move you from that bacha to a palace here on earth. I don't doubt it. But it is not an ungrateful, avaricious person that God will move that. That's why when people are like that, you see them now struggling very hard
to get that palace themselves. Go to any office in this country, especially in a city like this, like a city like ours, and you will have people who are singing Christian songs. Their Bibles have all manner of stickers on top of it, and the Bible is on their desk, but they are asking you for bread. Because they say, I don't come for Takot, come look bridge. Mr. I come make something for my life. And the way to make it is to cheat somebody else. And then they come to church on Sunday and give tithe, if they do, of that stolen money. God doesn't take those things. It's not acceptable to God. Many times we think that whatever we give to God, He will accept. No, sir. God discriminates. One day, we'll be able to look at that. If you read Malachi chapter 1, you will see it there. The ox knows his master. A servant knows his lord. But my people, they don't know me. How do you know me? When they want to give God an offering, they want to bring a goat that is lame, a sheep that is blind, a cow that they know that if they take that cow to the market, nobody will buy it. That's the one they bring for offering. And yet God says, it is your best. That in fact, the way I say it is, give God your first, then your best, and the rest. Everything belongs to God. You give God all. But no, it is the one that we don't want, that's the one we give to God. A woman with 10 children, the only child she will dedicate to God is the child that has epilepsy. But the ones who are strong, she doesn't take them to God. She says, no. Lord, if you heal this boy, in fact, I give him to you. That's the one they will give to God. The first child, they don't dedicate the first child. It's that one that has been. And it is long after that child has become a problem that they dedicate that child to God. When people buy new cars, they drive it. When the car is not giving problem, man of God, take this car. How do you do such a thing? I think I told you the story of the fellow who did not pay. He had time to pay. He didn't pay the time. Then after he had finished the money, he now said he had land somewhere. I brought one tiny thing. It's not even. You cannot even play five-a-side football on that land by a body of water. That's the one that he's given to God. Meanwhile, they have better land elsewhere. God doesn't deserve that one. God will take anything. God doesn't take such things. Offer to God quality thanksgiving. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We're talking of keeping promises. I have discovered that a man who cannot keep a promise to another man cannot keep a promise to God. Many of us think that, don't worry, if it's God has given a promise, I will keep it. But to the man, it may be difficult. It's a lie. Because keeping a promise is a nature. It's called faithfulness. Faithfulness is an attribute. You either have it or you don't have it. Remember what the Lord said in Luke chapter 16. He said, if you are faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. If you are dishonest in little, you'll be dishonest in it's not about God. It's about who you are. Ecclesiastes 5, 1 to 5. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth. Therefore let your words be... If you remember, we mentioned this one when we were talking about the issue of prayer. Our Father which art in heaven. It should bring you straight to the point of realizing that your words should be few. Don't speak hastily. When something is burning in us, we are quick to give it, to make a vow. If God will do this for me. Sometimes we say that we think, oh, we didn't know. No, if God will do this for me, I will do that. Some say, but it is the vow that you made in church. Please, is your body the temple of God? You made it in that body. So don't be quick to make promises. Sometimes we make promises because we want to get off the hook. Say, if I don't promise this fellow something, he won't let me go. So you give him a promise and you know you don't intend to keep it. Verse 3, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you see somebody who is speaking, they say, that man in mouth, sweet. You have seen a man that will not keep his promise. They speak sweet things. They speak this way sweet. They speak that way sweet. They will never tell you anything that will not make you happy. Can't keep a promise. You say, a fool's voice is known by his many words. In I think it's in Proverbs, the Bible says that in the multitude of words, sin is not far from that thing. Verse 4, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. Don't delay to pay it. I'm not even talking about you're not paying. Don't delay to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. God does not force you to make a vow. A lot of people, unfortunately, have taught people the wrong things. They say, when you really want God to do something for you, make a vow. They don't understand that you don't have to make a vow. If I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, You don't have to make a vow. Say it again to your neighbor. In fact, say it to yourself, I don't have to make a vow. God did not insist that you should make a vow. If there's anything at all God is saying, is just keep my word. And the ability to keep is what he has given to you. Psalm 15 verse 1, and then I'll go to verse 4b. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Verse 4, the B part. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Is that in your Bible? The man who makes a promise, it will pain him, it will hurt him, but he keeps his word. I will see you by 5 o'clock. He has something more important to do at 5, but because he had made that promise and is unable to cancel, he goes there. He keeps that promise. We are supposed to have the nature of God. Can you imagine God giving you a promise and not keeping it? Would you trust God anymore? That you want to make a promise and not keep it? Pay your vows. Keep your promises. Otherwise, you can't even abide where God is. So we go back to the checklist now. Now we made a checklist last week. Now we want to complete the checklist today. So we start from the beginning. Am I asking God? Am I asking in faith? Have I forgiven all? Am I waiting patiently for God? Have I asked according to the will of God? Now, the ones we've done today. Am I in Christ? And is his word in me? Am I in Christ? Am I dwelling in Christ? The Lord said to the church of the Laodiceans, he said, you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either cold or hot. But because you are neither cold nor hot, I will do what? I will spew you out of my mouth. So to be in Christ is to be hot, to be fervent for after the things of God. Fervency in the spirit. Many of us are fervent about our jobs. We are fervent about our marriages. We are fervent over our children. We are fervent over our businesses. Fervent about the projects that we are doing. But we are not fervent about God and the things of God. You are not in Christ. You may be in church, but you are not in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You are still dwelling on the old. You are still holding on to the old things. Still living in the old. Still living according to the old sinful nature. You are not in Christ. And is his word in you? Is his word in you? Is the word of God in you? The Bible tells us in, I think that's Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 or so, that the word of God, the word of Christ may dwell richly in our hearts. Is that it? Yes. Colossians 3:16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of God dwell in us richly. Another word for that word richly is abundantly. Abundantly. Sumptuously. Let it be there. You turn here the word of God. You turn there the word of God. You look here the word of God. You look back the word of God. Let it be in you richly. Am I in Christ? And is his word in me? Is there agreement between me and God on this thing I'm praying for? Or am I just going on my own tangent? Do I regard or cherish iniquity or idolatry in my heart? Am I someone who regards this thing? Who enjoys these things? And then I say, I want to ask God. Am I pleasing God? I think it's in Ephesians chapter 4. Where the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 5. From verse 8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But rather, expose them. We need to find out what is pleasing to God and do it. What is pleasing to God? Let's do that. Ask, am I obedient to God? Am I obedient to God? If God tells me to do something, do I do it? Or do I do the ones that I'm comfortable with and then avoid the ones I'm not comfortable with? The man who behaves that way, he cannot have answers to prayers. The guarantee that God gives, that says, ask and it will be given to you, will not cover that man. Am I asking in the name of Jesus? It's another thing you want to check from your list. All those who are praying in the name of the God of A, in the name of the God of B, in the name of the God of C, what is that? What is so difficult about praying in the name of Jesus? Why must you pray in the God of Pastor so and so, the God of Bishop so and so? Why must you do that? You pray to Mary. I asked somebody, I said, why do you do that? I said, what is there anything wrong in that? We're just asking her to pray for us. So there's only one intercessor in the Bible. The Holy Spirit on earth that we have on earth. If you must intercede, is it him that you go to and tell him to intercede for you? Mary is just like any other person anyway. What intercession is he interceding? At least the Lord would have said, when he was going in that John, in John 13 to 16, when he was speaking to his other, if you ask anything in the name of my mother, I will do it for you. Why did he not say that? If you ask anything in the name of the God of your pastor, I will do it. Why did he not say that? Give us a simple thing. Why? why must we complicate life?
Which is easier to say, in the name of Jesus, or in the name of God, the God of so and so? Which is easier to say?
Why don't we like easy things? Why must it be difficult? Have I been thankful from the heart for God's past favors? Have I expressed appreciation to God for even what he has done in the past?
Am I appreciative for what is happening to me now?
Am I being thankful to God? Even that situation that is not right, that is not good, am I thanking God for it? When God came and complained to people this way, he said, you are not thankful people. You think it is just offering I'm looking for. You bring your goats, you bring your cows. Is it the blood of goats I'm looking for? Is it the meat of cows? If I were hungry, I would tell you, I would go and pick the one I want to eat and eat it. After all, the cattle on a thousand hills, they are mine. The earth and the fullness thereof, they belong to me. If God is looking for gold today, he knows where to get gold. He put it there. If God is looking for crude oil, he knows where to, he will put it. If he cannot get it, if he doesn't, if you say, God, we don't want God near him, he knows how to remove the crude oil and put it where he will get it. So he doesn't need it from you. So all the things that we are bringing to God, they don't mean anything to God if there's no thankfulness in your heart. Many of us think that by giving God an offering, we are doing him a favor. Just take a deck. Just let me rest. It's a thankful heart. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. There's no cheerfulness in your heart. Keep the thing. God doesn't need it. Keep it. It's better you keep it. Oh, and some people know how to do that. They purposely develop an uncheerful heart so that they will not give. Keep it.
Also, are you being thankful in every circumstance? Are you being thankful in every circumstance? Not just when things are okay. Even in that bad circumstance. In Romans chapter 8 verse 28. Romans 8:28, the Bible says, and we know, not we think, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Them that are called, be called according to his purpose. Those who love God, how do we know those who love God? They keep his commandments. They're not going to say, I love you more than everything. They are people who keep his commandments. And they are people, these are the same people who have been called according to God's purpose. The Bible says all things work together for their good. I've always used an illustration to explain that scripture. And this is the illustration. A woman goes to the market. She buys vegetables. She buys meat. She buys tomatoes. She buys pepper. She buys onions. She buys maggi. Buys salt. What else? Palm oil, right? Matches and other things. Now, she has bought the ingredients. Will you just grab the vegetables and start eating? Will you just grab the raw meat and begin to eat? There's a preparation of the grocery. Is that not so? You cut the vegetables. You put them in the pot. The thing is steaming. Even while the vegetable is steaming, is the soup ready? You do all the things preparing them. By the time you start mixing them in the pot, mixing them, if they are not well cooked, you still will not enjoy that soup. So you have to wait for all things. Some of those things by themselves, they are bitter. But when they are cooked inside that soup, you won't even know that they are there. Bitter leaf soup. Ordinarily, when you eat that bitter leaf, you won't even want to eat anything again. But there is a way that the woman will prepare that bitter leaf soup. You will remove your shirt and go into your bedroom because you don't want to embarrass anybody. And in fact, you do it in your bedroom so that nobody will come and join you and shorten the portion. You sit down there, you are only in your pant or your wrapper so that the sweat can really flow. And then you are blowing the thing. But when the woman was busy cooking it, what's this woman doing? She's wasting my time. She's wasting my time. Now you finally see the soup landing. You're happy. It's the same thing with when God is working with us. All things, they are all ingredients coming the pot of your life. They are there, stirred, being stirred by God. Being stirred by God to make it good in your life. The disappointments you are facing, they are going to work together for your good. The denials and refusals that you think you have been denied and refused, they are going to work for your good. There are many times that you would want to do something and you meet a stumbling block. That God is doing something in your life. That's why he's saying, thank me for it. Just thank me. In that situation, thank me for it. Because I'm going to make all things work together. Remember when I was in school, my father had plans that I would study in the UK. He had saved money and everything. Then in my final year, before I wrote my final exams, he died. I was sad. Years later, after I became born again, I began to thank God. Because I realized something. That if I had gone to the UK to study and become a egghead in that school, you can't come. Is it me you preach God? When here, I wasn't accepting him. Then I've now gone to a place where the everywhere is okay. I will never know God. That's the truth. If when I had graduated, there was
Full employment. In my time, when we graduated, in fact, unemployment started with us. The year I graduated was the year unemployment. The people who graduated a year before me had jobs. They had cars. Those days, when you graduate from school, a car is waiting for you. A car, a job, a house. It was standard. The year I graduated from school, unemployment started in Nigeria. If I had been employed like that, it would be difficult to preach Christ to me. The hardship I went through made me to think that there must be a way of solving my problem. And the only way happened to be Jesus Christ. And it wasn't solving that problem. It was actually to bring me out of sin. Be thankful to God for those. They are horrible situations. It's true. But be thankful to God. Because you don't know God, what God is planning. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, there were two ways by which he could have taken them. He was going to take them by the way of the Philistines. But instead he chose to take them by the way of the wilderness. And God said, if I take these people by the way of the Philistines, the Philistines will attack them. And the Philistines were the only ones in those days that had weapons of metal. They will be afraid and they will return to Egypt. No, let me take them through the way of the wilderness. The wilderness lasted 40 years, is that not so? Although it was supposed to just be for 2 years. The way of the Philistines was shorter. The wilderness was longer. But in the way of the wilderness, God was able to begin to bring things out of them and to put things in them. You may think that Christianity is something that you just jump in now and bam, everything in your life becomes smooth. No, there are some changes that God needs to make in your life. If many of you touch money today, we will beg you to come to church. I'm telling you, if you touch money, and I say touch money, I'm talking of something as small as 5 million naira, free 5 million naira sitting in one account. Your throat will be so, in fact, we won't be able to talk to you again. That's how you'll be talking to us. Yes, Pastor, what's it? Oh, nothing. Yes, and who is that? It's me, Pastor. Oh, Pastor, it's you. How are you? I slept very late. Yes. If that's the kind of money, we won't know you, we won't be able to recognize you again. Nobody in this church can greet you again. So you have to be where you are so that we can teach you how to live. So when that thing comes, it will not turn your head upside down and you miss eternity. Be thankful to God. Have I kept my own promises to God and to man before expecting God to keep his own promise? Have I kept my own promises to God and to man? If I promise somebody something, am I keeping it? Am I asking in the spirit? A lot of times, I know many of us will like to pray in our understanding. And yet, your understanding does not understand God. Your understanding does not know how to ask. Does not know what to ask for. More often than not, you will discover that when you are praying in the spirit, you don't know what you are saying. But a lot of times, what we're actually doing in the spirit could just be worship, the worship of God. But in your understanding, you won't worship God. In your understanding, you'll be asking. But in the spirit, these things we're talking about are dealt with. Thanksgiving is going up to God. Praise is going up to God. Worship is going up to God. Because it's the spirit that is helping us to pray. And he knows the heart of God. He knows how to touch the heart of God. And so he's praying through us. God, by giving us that language that if we understood the language, you say, why are we wasting time just praising God? Not we had something to ask. Let's ask for that thing. And it is as you're praying in the spirit, you suddenly will hear God say to you, make this declaration. As you make that declaration, it is done. Because you have spoken the word, and everyone that held any door, any demon anywhere that held it, that word that has been spoken will go out and begin to remove their hands and the doors will open. But we pray too much in our understanding, and our understanding can never touch the heart of God. It is in the spirit that we interact with God. It is in the spirit that we touch the heart of God. It is through that same spirit that God gives us the response. And then we now translate it in our understanding. Finally, there are many things to ask, but finally, let me ask that question. And it's a question that we all have to ask. Am I born again? Do I qualify to ask? Because there are people who don't qualify to ask. A person who is not born again is qualified to ask for only one thing. What's that one thing he's supposed to ask for? Salvation. Because there is no need to receive something without being saved. I remember the Syrophoenician woman who went to ask for healing for her daughter. She was a beggar. She was satisfied with crumbs. Whereas she could have taken bread. She could have taken salvation, which is for the children. But she was satisfied with crumbs. And she went away. Her daughter was healed. She was okay, but she was not saved. Her daughter was not saved. It's one thing to be healed, it's another thing to be saved. It's one thing to be rich, it's another thing to be saved. It's one thing to get a miracle, it's another thing to be healed and to be saved. There are many things that we are chasing after, which salvation is better than. All those miracles, all those healings, all those gifts, all those things that we're asking. If you can get the salvation that God gives, you now have, as it were, the passport to ask for any other thing. But without that, you can get some minor things. What the Lord Jesus called crumbs. And there are crumbs all over the place.
What's that song? There shall be showers of blessings. Do you remember that song? Send now upon us, O Lord. There shall be seasons refreshing. Showers of blessings. Showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling. But for the showers, the unsaved man can get some mercy drops. But when you really want the showers, you must be saved. It's salvation that opens the floodgates of the showers of God's blessings. And to be saved is not going to church. I've discovered that these days we need to talk a little bit about what salvation means. About what it means to be born again. Because many people assume inadvertently that because I'm going to a Pentecostal church, I am saved. Going to a Pentecostal church does not mean that you are saved. It simply means you are going to a Pentecostal church. That's all that it means. To be saved means that number one, you recognize that you are a sinner on the way to perishing. Because that's what salvation. Salvation saves you from perishing. So you recognize that you are a sinner who is perishing. And now you need a savior to save you from that perishing. And that savior is Jesus Christ. And many say that I know Jesus does not mean that you know him. You know about him. But you don't know, if you have not experienced the saving power of Christ, you are not born again. The saving power of Christ enables you not to commit sin. There is a power that you receive when you are born again that makes it difficult for you to commit sin. If you are finding it easy to commit sin, you are not born again. That's the reality. Oh, I know many people who say that, but salvation cannot be lost. It can be lost. If you toy with it, you lose it. That's the reality. Salvation is a guarantee that God gives you that when you leave this earth, you are going to come and be with him. And in that salvation is the saving from past sins, which is the first thing that you experience. Then the saving from the sins that you will encounter presently. And the saving from the eternal judgment of the future that is to come. That's the full package of salvation. Salvation is nothing about cars, a house, a wife, children, just by themselves. No. Salvation is a total package. The man or woman that you will marry, that God will give to you, can get you to that ultimate salvation. That's how things like marriage, things like children, all those gifts that come as a result of salvation, they are there to make sure that you get to the ultimate place of salvation, which is eternal life in heaven with God. So when you want to live your life as you like, you miss out on that. That's why this morning, even as few as we are, I want us to examine our lives. I believe we are going to pray today and God will answer. But let's be sure on this one point first, that we are truly saved. That we are truly born again. That we recognize that we are sinners, perishing. Jesus is the Savior and he has come to save us. And having saved us, we are free from the stranglehold of sin. Because that's the bottom line. And that there's a joy in us. Because that's one immediate sign. You just have a joy in you. Nothing has happened. That you have a joy in you is the joy of the Holy Ghost that comes into you instantly, a sign that you have already been saved. It is after that salvation that we can begin to ask questions of, well, are we asking in the name of God, in the name of Jesus? Are we asking God? Are we asking in faith? Have we forgiven? Are we waiting on God? Are we asking according to his will? Are we following his commandments? Are we in Christ? And so all the other things come out from this matter of salvation. Let us pray. So let's just begin this morning by asking, if you are here, you're not sure of your salvation, and you want to have that assurance in you today, you want God to give you that assurance today, that should be the first thing you should be asking. Because that one is an answer that you can get immediately. The assurance of your salvation must be in you. If you are not sure of your salvation, you are merely attending church. That assurance must be there. It is the basis on which we walk as children of God. So something you want to talk to God and say, Lord, let me have this assurance in my heart. Now, if you have not at any time surrendered your life to Jesus, maybe you have been going to church, you have been hearing about Jesus, but you have not consciously surrendered your life to Jesus and you want to do that now, I want to pray for you. Just lift up your right hand above your head. When I see that hand above your head, I will know that, yes, you want me to pray for you. You want me to pray for you so that you can be saved, you can receive salvation today. Lift up your right hand above your head where I can see it. Otherwise, let's move on. After asking for the assurance of salvation, I want you to go over the checklist that we have looked at. How have you been asking? And why are you not getting answers when you are asking? Is it that you are not asking from God? Is it that you are talking to men of God, but not to God himself? Is it that you are asking not in faith? You are asking out of fear, out of doubt? Have you forgiven all? Are you waiting patiently for God? Or you are planning other things and trying to do things in your own strength? Have you asked God according to his will? Have you gone to God and said, Lord, what is your will concerning this matter? And then you ask according to that will.
Are you in Christ?
Yielded to Him?
Obeying Him?
Is His word in you?
Is it indwelling you richly?
Abundantly?
You soaking yourself in His word?
Filling your life with His word?
The thing you are asking for, is it something that God is in agreement with you on?
Have you become one of those who are cherishing iniquity and idolatry in their hearts?
Are you pleasing to God?
Are you obedient to God?
Have you kept your own promises?
Are you thankful to God, regardless of the circumstances, situation?
Are you asking in the name of Jesus?
Are you asking in the Spirit?
Let's talk to God.
Those areas on the checklist that, like we said last week, when you get to a point, you say, oh, this one I'm not doing, you stop there. You do it in the place of prayer.
Say, Father, I suspect I've not been pleasing you. I want to begin to please you.
Henceforth,
I want to begin to please you.
What is it that will please you?
Tell me what it is that you want me to begin to do that will please you.
Is my life pleasing before you?
Is it that I've just been doing things on my own?
I want to please you.
I want to please you.
For so long, I've not been hearing you. Every time I pray to you, it's as if you're not answering me.
Is there iniquity in my life?
Or do I have an idol that I've not removed?
Is there unforgiveness in my life?
Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your help.
Oh, I realize my errors today. I've made promises that I have not kept.
Father, help me to keep promises.
Vows that I have not paid, remind me and help me to pay those vows.
Promises that I have not kept, help me to make them good.
Help me to make them good.
Let me begin to live as you want me to live.
So that indeed,
I can ask and be confident that you hear me and that you will give to me that which I've asked.
I no longer want to be saying, maybe this is what God is doing. Maybe I want the assurance
that indeed you have heard me and that indeed I have the petition that I have asked for.
It's me, O Lord, standing in the place of prayer.
It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
It's not my father, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in this place of prayer.
Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in this place of prayer.
Yes,
it's me, O Lord, standing in the place of prayer.
It's me, O Lord, standing in the place of prayer.
Yes, Lord, I that guarantee that you have given, that if I ask whatever I ask for, that you will give to me. My Father, my God, I am standing in that place of prayer today. That whatever it is that has stopped my prayers from being answered, that Lord, you will reveal to me.
Dear loving Father, you have brought this message to us because you want to begin to answer our prayers speedily.
There are delays. They are being held back
because certain things are not being done by us.
Father, help us. Reveal these things to us. Reveal these things to us. Reveal these things to us, Almighty God.
So that we will not be as them that are beating about the bush.
It will be direct, focused, not maybe this is why, maybe that. We will know definitively
the reason why this is not happening.
We'll make amends
and we begin to see the results.
Every one of us.
Every one of us.
Every one of us.
Brother, let's pray.
Remember,
pray in the Spirit.
Pray in the Spirit.
Pray in the Spirit.
Masakata lika brokoto leke makanda yareke. Brakata lika masokondo leke makata yareke.
If you can't pray in the Spirit, ask God.
Ask. That's all you need to do. Ask. Ask.
He will give it to you.
Ask. That's what the Bible says. He will give it to you. He will give you that gift. The ability to pray in the Spirit, He will give it to you. Even if man does not lay hands on you, you will pray in the Spirit.
Just ask.
Sincerity in your heart.
He will give it to you.
Pray in the Spirit.
Pray in the Spirit to the Lord today.
Pray in the Spirit to the Lord.
Pray in the Spirit to the Lord.
He will make all things. He will sort all things out.
Makatalika brosokundo rege makanda yarege. Brakatalika makata yarege. Rogodoleke magadaleke masakanda yarege. Brakatalika makoto rege brokondoleke. Masakata yarege makakandalika brakandaleke. Masakatalika brosokundo rege. Reketeleke makata yarika makoto rege. Brosokondorika makanda yareke keke brakatleke. Makatalika brokotoleke makanda yareke. Iya katalike masakatalika brokondoleke. Makataleke keke brokondoleke. Makandalika brakatalika masokotore. Makata yareke. Brosogondoleke makandalika bragadaleke. Rekekeke makata yalika masokondoreke. Brokoto leke makata yarika makanda leke brakata leke. Reke ke makata lika brokoto leke. Makata lika brasa kanda leke. Makata yarike ke brokondo leke. Rikata lika makoto leke. Brakata leke makanda yarike. Brokoto leke makata yarike. Makata yarike ke. Brakata lika makondo leke. Brokodo leke magada yarike. Makata leke brasa kanda leke. Broso kotolika makata yareke. Brakakakaka lika makotoreke. Brosondo lika makanda yareke. Bragada lika makotoreke. Brokondo leke. Rekende leke magada yareke. Makata yareka brokotoleke makata yareke. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Makondo lika brokotoleke. Brokotoleke makata yareke. The Bible says for everyone that asks receives. Makata lika brokondo leke. Rekekekeke makata yareke. Brogodoleke magada yarika brokotoleke. Rekekekeke makata yareke. Brakatalika makondoreke. Brokotolika makondoreke keke. Brakatalika makata yareke. Brogodoleke magada yareke kekekeke. Brosokotolika makotoreke. Rekekekeke makata yareke. Brogodoleke makata yareke. Brakandaleke makata yareke. Brogodolege magada yarika brokotoleke. Rekekekekekeke magada rika brogodolege. Rekekekeke magada lika brasa kandaleke. Yekende leke makotorika brakatale. Rikanda leke makanda yareke. Bragada laika makondoreke. Brogodoleke makata yareke. Rekakakaka lika makotoreke. Brosokondoreke makanda yareke. Brakataleke makata yareke keke. Brogodolege magada yareke keke. Brakatalika makondoreke. Rokotoleke makata yarekekeke. Bragadalika makotorekekeke. Brosokondorekekeke. Brogodolege magada yarekekeke. Rekekekekeke makata yarekekeke. Brokotoleke makata yarekekeke. Brasakandaleke makata yareke.
There is something that's made me come into your presence because you are my helper. There is something that's made me to come into your presence. You are my helper. My helper, oh. My helper, oh. There is something that's made me to come into your presence. You are my helper.
Makatalika brosokotoreke. Reketeleke makata yarekekeke. Brokotolika makondorekekeke. Bragadalika makata yarekekeke. Brosokotorekekekeke. Makata yarika brasa kandalekekeke.
You are my father. You found my heart. Before even time began, my life was in your hand. You know my name. You know my every thought. You see each day that fall, and you hear me when I call. You know my name. You know my every thought. You see each tear that falls. And you hear me when I call.
Continue to talk to the Lord because He will hear you. He knows you. He made you. There's nothing you're going to say to God today that is going to shock Him. He knows it already. He's just waiting for you to ask. Makatali kabroso kondoreke. You say you don't know the will of God. Ask in the Spirit. Makatayarekekeke. Brakatalika makondorekekeke. Father, concerning my life, I am asking in your Spirit. asking in the spirit even at this time, knowing that, Lord, you will make all things good concerning my life. Makanda leke broso koto leke. Rekete lika makondo rekeke. Brakata lika makoto reke. Makata ya rika brasanda leke. Makata leke keke brokondo leke. Rikanda lika makoto reke. Brokondo leke makata ya reke. Brakata lika makata ya reke. Masokoto reke keke. Brakata leke keke. Makondo rika brakanda lekeke. Send your light, send your light, send your light, Jehovah, send your light into my soul. Send your light, oh, send your light, oh, send your light, Jehovah, send your light into my soul. Father, every form of spiritual blindness, we banish in the name of Jesus. Makatalika brokondoleke. Lord, open eyes in this place. Open the eyes of men in this place today, that they may see. Makatalika brokondoleke. Through the prism of God. Makatayareke keke. Brakanda lika makotoreke keke. Brosokoto lika makata yareke. Brakata lika makotoreke keke. Makanda yareke keke makotoreke. Brosokoto lika makata yareke keke. Rekete leke makata yareke keke. Yes, Lord, thank you. You are the God that opens the door and no man can shut. You shut the door and no man can open. Thus says the Lord to you here today. I am he that opens the door, and no man can shut it. I am he that shuts the door, and no man can open it. I have opened the door unto you, and there is no man that can shut that door. Makata lika bro sokoto reke. Rekende leke makata ya rika bro koto reke. Rikakaka lika makoto reke. Bro sokoto reke makata ya reke. Rika kakaka leke makoto reke brosokondo leke. Rikanda lika makata ya reke. Brokoto leke makata ya reke. Makata lika brosokondo leke. There's someone here today, you are facing a very serious matter. The Lord is saying, don't ask about that matter, just give me thanks for it. Give me thanks inside that situation that you are in. Just give me thanks in it. Makata leke. Brokoto lika makanda ya reke. Makata leke brokoto leke. Rekakaka lika makanda yareke. Brokoto leke makata yareke. Brasakata lika makanda yareke. Makoto leke makata yareke. Brasakanda lika makata yareke keke. Brakata leke makata yareke. Brokoto leke makata yareke. Makata yareke keke. Brokoto leke makata yareke keke. Brokoto leke keke. Makata yareke keke. Brokoto leke makata yareke. Rekata lika makondo reke. Brokoto leke makata yareke keke. Brokokoko lika makanda yareke. Brakata lika makoto reke keke. Rekeke keke makanda leke. Brosokoto lika makoto reke. Brogodo leke makata yareke keke. Brokoto leke makata yareke keke. Brokoto leke makata yareke keke. Brokoto leke keke makata yareke keke. Brakata leke makata yareke keke. Brakata leke keke makanda yareke. You are my Father, Almighty Father. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are my Father. You are. Hallelujah. Almighty. Oh, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are my Father. Hallelujah. Almighty Father. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are my Daddy. You are my Father. Almighty God. Almighty Father. Daddy, you are. Glory, Lord of Lords. You are my Father. You are. Lift our hands and begin to give him thanks. Let's thank him. Let's thank him. Let's thank him for answers to our prayers. Let's thank him for the prayers that will not be answered. Let's thank him for the one that he has answered in time past. Let's give him thanks. Let's give him thanks. Let's give him thanks. Thank you, King of Kings. Thank you, Lord of Lords. Thank you, Ancient of Days. Thank you, Bright and Morning Star. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, 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 glory be to your holy name. Thank you, my Father, my God. Masoko torika brakata leke. Rekende leke makatayarika makotoreke. Brogodo leke makatayareke keke. Brakata nika makondoreke. Masakata yareke keke. Brakata leke makatayareke. Brogodo lika makondoreke keke. Brokoto leke makatayareke keke. Brakakaka lika makotoreke. Masokondo rika brokoto leke. Rekekekekeke makatayareke. Rekakaka lika makondo reke. Brogodo leke makatayareke keke. For all you've done in our lives, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks, Almighty and Everlasting God. For all that you will never do in our lives, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We give you thanks. We know your total will and counsel for us is good. And so we thank you for it. We thank you for it. We thank you how far you have helped us. We thank you for where you are taking us to next. All glory, all honor, and adoration to your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen.